I'd like to draw your attention to Matthew 27, verses 11 to 26. And our title this morning is Condemned Instead of Sinners. Jesus Christ, our Lord, was condemned instead of sinners, on behalf of sinners. Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 to 26. The Bible reads, "Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus said, 'You have said so.' But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, 'Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?' But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd anyone prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?' For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, 'Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream.' Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, 'Which of the two do you want me to release for you?' And they said, 'Barabbas.' Pilate said to them, 'Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?' They all said, 'Let him be crucified.' And he said, 'Why? What evil has he done?' But they shouted all the more, 'Let him be crucified.' So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, 'I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves.' And all the people answered, 'His blood be on us and on our children.' Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified." Amen. We all know that our Lord Jesus Christ had no sin. He was a blameless man. He didn't sin in any way. There was no sin in his mind. There was no sin in his deeds. There was no sin in his words. Christ was pure, and he was pure inside and outside. Isaiah 53 verse 9 says that he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. That's what Isaiah says. He had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Christ's life was ever above reproach. His speech was always sincere and true. He committed no crime. He committed no sin. He didn't even think sin. He had no sinful thoughts. But he chose to be condemned. He allowed himself to be persecuted. He allowed himself to be judged, even if he had no sin. Why did he allow himself to be condemned? He allowed himself to be condemned so that sinners could find salvation. He accepted to be treated like a common criminal, not because he deserved to be treated that way. He accepted for the sake of sinners. He accepted to suffer and to die instead of sinners. And that is why he offered himself willingly into the hands of sinners. He didn't resist to be arrested. He didn't defend himself, even if he had ample reason to do so. He didn't defend himself, even if he had sufficient reason to defend himself. We have read previously that he didn't reply to the accusations which were brought against him. He didn't reply to any accusation. The high priest and his council brought false witnesses when they were unjustly prosecuting him. We read previously that the high priest and his council, they brought false witnesses because they wanted just to frame up a charge against him. And all those false witnesses falsely accused our Lord of many things. They accused him of many, many things, but he kept silence. Even before Pilate, as we have read in our passage, the priests and the elders falsely accused him, but Christ didn't reply. He still kept quiet. Our Lord was fulfilling what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 and verse 7. It says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." You can see that our Lord Jesus, by keeping silent, he was fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. It was already prophesied that he will keep quiet. He will be like a lamb. He will be like a sheep. And all these things should strengthen our assurance that Christ is the promised Messiah. Everything that was prophesied about him was truly fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can rest assured that we believe in the right Savior, the promised Messiah. Our Lord was oppressed, like as we have read in Isaiah, he was oppressed, he was subjected to ill treatment, he suffered physical and inner pain, but he didn't defend himself. He willingly submitted to all those things for sinners. He suffered instead of others. He suffered instead of sinners. He suffered so that sinners can be justified, so that sinners can find salvation. And that is what we are going to see this morning. I believe that is what our passage today is teaching us. Christ was condemned instead of a criminal. A criminal was released. A criminal was freed, and Christ was condemned on his behalf. The story we have read in our today's passage started in verses 1 and 2. That's where this story started. And it was interrupted in verses 3 to 10 and was resumed again in verse 11. In verses 1 and 2, we are told how the chief priests were determined to get rid of Christ and how they plotted against him. We read here in verse 1 and 2, when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. These people agreed that Jesus was guilty of blasphemy and he deserved to be put to death. But they didn't have the right to put him to death. They didn't have the right to put anyone to death. And we see that in John chapter 18 and verse 31. John chapter 18 and verse 31. It says, Pilate said to them, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. The Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. Can you see this? It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. So they didn't have the right to put anyone to death. That is why they brought Jesus Christ to Pilate. So these people, after prosecuting Jesus Christ, and they framed up a charge against him, they brought him to Pilate so that Pilate could execute our Lord Jesus Christ. So when they took him to Pilate, they believed that they would convince Pilate that Jesus was a criminal. So in order to convince Pilate that Jesus was a criminal who deserved to be sentenced to death, they made up false charges against him. They accused him falsely. And we see this in Luke chapter 23 and verse 2. It says, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, the King. You can see that there are three accusations in this passage. They told Pilate that Christ was misleading the nation. That was the first accusation. And the second accusation is that they said that he was forbidding people to pay tribute or taxes to Caesar. And the third accusation was that he was telling people that he was the king. But none of their accusations was true. None of those accusations was true. For example, if we take this accusation that Jesus Christ forbade people to pay tribute to Caesar, to pay taxes to Caesar, this is not true. We all know that Jesus Christ told people that they should give Caesar what belongs to Caesar and God what belongs to him. So this accusation could not be true. And here, the second accusation, they said he was telling people that he was the king. So in their understanding, they thought that Jesus meant that he was the king of this world. They thought that Jesus Christ was trying to overthrow the existing kings of that time. But that was not true. And this shows us that our Lord was above reproach, and he really qualified to be our Savior. Because until now, there was no proof of all those accusations. Until now, Christ was proving that he was blameless, he was sinless. So we must trust in him. we must trust our Lord because He is blameless. He is sinless. When the chief priests prosecuted him, they accused him of blasphemy. That was their accusation. They said he had blasphemed. But before Pilate, they changed their accusation. They came up with other accusations. They dropped their accusation of blasphemy. So like the false witnesses, they invited chief priests were also not consistent in their accusations. They were changing all the time. Today they accuse him of this. Tomorrow they change. It is now another thing. They were not consistent. And all that shows us how wicked these people were and how righteous and holy our Lord Jesus Christ was. These people were just determined to get rid of Christ. They knew in their hearts that he had no sin. They knew in their hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ was blameless. But because they hated him, they were framing up false charges against him so that they could get rid of him. So the lies of the chief priests were intended to alarm the governor. They wanted to alarm Pilate. You know, Pilate was the emperor's envoy. He was the emperor's representative in Israel. The chief priest, therefore, thought that if they told him that Christ was forbidding people to pay tribute to the emperor, he was forbidding people to pay taxes to the emperor, and that he was claiming to be the king, they thought the governor would be alarmed and do what they intended to do. That is what was going in their mind. If we tell him this, as the emperor's envoy, as the emperor's representative, he will be upset. He will be alarmed and he will sentence Jesus to death. But the governor was not alarmed. He was not upset. He was not disturbed. And he was not disturbed because, first of all, he despised Jesus. He despised Jesus. He didn't think a man like Jesus, a poor man like Jesus, can overthrow the king. He didn't think that way. And that is why he disdainfully asked Jesus if he was the king. And Jesus responded in the affirmative. And we see this in verse 11. We are told, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." So Jesus' answer was true. He was king, but not an earthly king. He said that his kingdom is not of this world. John chapter 18 and verse 36. Jesus Christ said that his kingdom was not of this world. There is a time when Jews wanted to crown him as king, but Jesus left. He withdrew and hid himself on the mountain. John chapter 6 and verse 15. Why did he withdraw? Why did he leave? Because he didn't want the people, the Jews, to crown him as king here on earth, because his kingdom is not of this world. Our Lord's kingdom is heavenly. And that is why believers should not fix their eyes on earthly things. That is why believers should not be worldly, because they belong to the kingdom of heaven. Believers should fix their eyes on heavenly things. They should fix their eyes on that inheritance that has been secured by Christ Jesus in heaven. Believers should be godly. They should find their satisfaction in God alone. Heavenly things are everlasting. They are more valuable than the things of this world, because the earthly things are passing away. Earthly things are perishable, but heavenly things are everlasting. So, my dear believers, we should know that we do not belong to the kingdoms of this world. We belong to the kingdom of heaven. So let us always fix our eyes to the things above. So Christ is King. You are saying the truth. He is King, but He is not the King of this world. Our Lord answered the governor. He answered him in the affirmative when the governor asked him that question. Are you the king? He said, you have said so. That means he accepted that he was the king, but not the king of this world. But he kept quiet when he was accused by chief priests. When the governor asked him, he responded, he answered. But when the chief priests and the elders were accusing him falsely, he kept quiet. And we see this in verse 12 to 14. It says, but when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Christ answered the governor. Why did he answer the governor, but he didn't answer the chief priests and the elders when they were accusing him falsely? He answered the governor because he was confirming and endorsing the truth which he had earlier proclaimed. He had always said that he was the king, even if he was not the king of this world, but he was the king and he is the king. So when the governor asked him, it was right for Christ to confirm and endorse the truth that he had always proclaimed. But he kept quiet to the accusations of his enemies because he didn't want to demonstrate his innocence. He knew that if he proved his innocence, he wouldn't have accomplished the work he came to do. He would have easily won the case if he started proving his innocence. He would have won the case and he would have been released. You know, Pilate was already convinced of Christ's innocence. He was already convinced that Christ was innocent. And that is why he was greatly amazed when Christ kept silent. He was astonished. He was perhaps asking himself, why doesn't he prove his innocence so that he can be freed, so that he can be released? Christ's silence astonished Pilate. So Christ would have been released if he started defending himself, if he tried to prove his innocence. And Jesus couldn't do that because his work was to suffer for his people, to suffer for sinners. Christ wouldn't allow any of his people to perish. And that is why he didn't reply. He knew that if he did so, if he proved his innocence, he would have been released and the work that he came to do wouldn't be done, wouldn't be accomplished. And this shows how Christ loves his people. His love for his people is so great. It's so great that he didn't even prove innocence so that he could die for them. And this should really affect us. The love of Christ to us should really affect us. If Christ loves us this much, we should also love our Savior. We should also love him. When we suffer for his sake, we should endure patiently. We should be ready to give up even our rights for his sake. We should always glorify him because he loves us so much. He did quite a lot for us. He gave himself for us. So Jesus kept silent, and Pilate didn't find any fault with Jesus. He didn't find any sin in him. Pilate was convinced that Jesus was innocent, but he couldn't release him because he feared men. Pilate feared the crowd, and he feared them because they were violent people. So he was avoiding their probable violent reaction. He knew that if he released Jesus Christ, they would have reacted violently. And because of this fear, Pilate didn't release Jesus Christ, even if he was convinced that Jesus Christ was innocent. So how was he going to do now? Because here he was now standing between two things. He was now standing between his own conscience and the people. And how was he going to satisfy both? To satisfy his conscience and to satisfy his people. Pilate was in a dilemma, big dilemma. This man is innocent. He does not deserve to be condemned. He has to be released. But if I release him, these people will react violently here. So what am I going to do? Pilate was in a big dilemma. And when he was thinking about that, he remembered that there was a custom, a tradition in Israel. According to that tradition, the governor released one prisoner at Passover. He released one prisoner at Passover. And we see this in verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. So he came to think about this tradition, Pilate. And he asked the crowd to choose between Jesus and Barabbas. He asked them to choose one of them. Who did they want to be released? And the Bible tells us that Barabbas was a criminal. He was a well-known offender. He was a murderer, and so on. And this man should have been hated by all because he was very wicked. And I believe that Pilate expected people to choose Jesus. So he wanted to use that to release Jesus Christ. But with surprise, the people chose Barabbas. And we see this in verses 20 to 22. It says, "Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, 'Which of the two do you want me to release for you?' And they said, 'Barabbas.' Pilate said to them, 'Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?' They all said, 'Let him be crucified.'" The crowd shouted, "Release Barabbas to us. Forgive Barabbas and crucify Jesus." Their reaction reveals the sinful nature of man. Pilate gave them sufficient time to think about it. As we read here, it seems he asked them twice. And they said they wanted Barabbas to be released. And they wanted Jesus Christ to be crucified. So there was time for second thoughts. But there were no second thoughts in their minds. They continued with their evil deeds. They rejected Christ and chose a criminal. That is how mankind is by nature. He hates righteousness and loves unrighteousness. Jesus was righteous and holy, but they hated him. They rejected him. And they hated him because he told them the truth, because he testified of their works that they were evil. They hated the light because it made their own darkness visible. They hated Christ because he was righteous and holy, and they were wicked and unholy. Only God could change them. Only him can give us new nature. Only him gives a new heart, a heart that loves righteousness and hates wickedness. And that is why, if you still love wickedness, ask God to give you a new heart. The reaction of Jews also teaches us that we should expect to be hated by the world when we live righteously. When we live in light, we will be treated the way Christ was treated. So the crowd asked for the release of Barabbas and the crucifixion of Jesus. And Pilate gave into their pressure. He released Barabbas and condemned Jesus Christ, the innocent one. Verses 24 to 26. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Pilate knew the truth. He knew what was right to do. But he did what was wrong. Why? Because he feared man. Because of the fear of man, he sinned against God and against his own conscience. And this teaches us, my dear friend, that the fear of man is very, very dangerous. Christians should not fear man. We should only fear God. Let us therefore always pray that God will help us to overcome fear. Many of us sin again and again because they fear man. They know what is right. They know the truth. But they do what is wrong because of the fear of man. We should therefore pray that God will help us overcome fear in us. Because of fear, Pilate condemned a righteous man instead of a criminal. Barabbas, who was a criminal, was released, and our righteous and holy Lord was condemned. It was necessary that he was condemned instead of a sinner. Yes, of course, what Pilate did was wrong. It was sin. But that had to happen for the sake of sinners. And it shows that our Lord was condemned to be a sacrifice for sinners. He was offered for sin and its curse. That is why scripture says that he became a curse for us. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. He became a curse for us. He received the curse which our sins deserved. We are the ones who deserved to receive the curse that Jesus received. But Jesus Christ took that curse upon himself so that we can be freed from it. We should therefore hurt our sins, my dear friends. Why? Because it is because of our sins that our Lord Jesus Christ was condemned. It is because of us that he went through what he went through here. So this should really open our eyes. It should really cause us to hurt our sins that much. We should hurt our sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ suffered for them. So, my dear friends, you can see how our Lord Jesus Christ was condemned instead of sinners. When I read this passage, I normally say that Barabbas is like a picture of all sinners. Christ was condemned so that Barabbas could be released. And that is why when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we are justified. God declares us righteous. God removes his wrath from us because he had already poured it upon his Son, Jesus Christ. So when we meditate upon these things, I don't think we can remain indifferent. When we meditate upon what Jesus Christ did, we should love him even more. We should glorify him. We should live for him. But we should also hate our sins because our Lord went through this because of our sins. We should hate our sins and we should value our salvation. We should value it It is the most valuable thing we can have in this world. If we are saved, our salvation is the most valuable thing we have. We now belong to this heavenly kingdom. We do no longer belong to the kingdom of this world. So let us always now fix our eyes on heavenly things and not things beneath. Let us pray. Our dear Lord and our Father in heaven, we thank you, O Lord, for this word. We thank you, Father, to be reminded of our Lord Jesus Christ, how blameless he was, but he was condemned because of our sins. And we pray that, Lord, we will hate our sins as we remember these things. We also pray that we will love him even more. For he gave himself, he allowed himself to be condemned, to be judged, not because he deserved to be condemned, but because he loves us and he wanted to rescue us from that condemnation. We thank him, O Lord, for the work he did. And we pray that remembering these things will have a powerful effect in our lives, so that we may completely separate ourselves from sin and from the world and fix our eyes on heavenly things, in readiness to meet our Lord when he comes again in glory. We pray these things, O Lord, in the mighty name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.